Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 162. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we got a handful of stuff for you this week. We're going to start off, though, with a brand new film that we actually both saw. And that is a film called Revenge, directed by Coralie Farghiet. I'm sure that's totally incorrect pronunciation of her name. French director. Yeah, it's a French director. She wrote and directed this. Revenge is, it falls in like this very specific horror subgenre of women being attacked or raped and then getting revenge on their male attackers. Such as like I spit on your grave. I want to say Last House on the Left is kind of like that too. It's been a while since I've seen it.
To an extent, I think that's more her parents that get the revenge.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is the
parents. But yeah, it's similar concept. Like,
yeah. But, you know, if you've seen I Spit on Your Grave, I'm trying to think there's other examples.
I'm drawing a blank on them as well.
It feels like there's like a million of them. But yeah, if you get the idea if you've seen you know, like I Spit on Your Grave. The story is this girl, Jen, who is played by, is her name Matilda Lutz?
Yeah.
She's like going with this like rich guy to his like mansion in the middle of fucking nowhere in the desert. Kind of like a secret weekend with this guy who's married. They're there, they have some sex, and then two of his buddies, like hunting buddies, show up like a day early, and they get some alone time with her, and things go really bad from there. That's the basic setup. And you know, it's like I said, she gets attacked and she gets her revenge. That's what this is. Chris, I had a pretty good time with this one. How about you?
I don't think it's a very good movie.
Like, oh, you didn't like it?
Yeah. Well, we'll get into some of it, but I think it's very basic. It's very generic in its structure, which is fine. I mean, it is just bare bones revenge story, right?
Yeah.
And you don't really need characterization to realize that the three guys are assholes and that they should probably die. It's just a little bit like goofy and over the top at points.
It is. Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know. It just kind of took me at like they push her off a cliff like that. So
yeah.
And then she lands, she gets impaled in a tree like Lara Croft style. And then she like burns the fucking tree down. But I don't know. It was like
that stuck out to me because I was like, that doesn't seem like that's how that would work.
Like, no. What, like the burning the tree down or yeah, just the way like, she like, landed? Because like she's landed and it looks like her back is broken. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, I could suspend my disbelief on her landing on the tree and somehow surviving it.
Sure.
But like the way she gets off the tree is like
so dumb.
Like she like is somehow able to grab like a couple pieces of like a dry grass or whatever, you know, some kindling, but like barely that, and is able to light it, and like that is somehow lights up the whole goddamn tree that she's on. And then like the tree falls apart because of that. I don't know why they could have just made it like she broke the branch eventually somehow, like. But
regardless, like it's
a nitpicky thing, but that part did like take me out of it for a second.
Yeah, so it's like there, and there's a bunch of like things like that. Like she's obviously bleeding profusely, like on this tree, like blood. Like they spend a lot of time on like blood. Like there's a lot of blood in this movie.
Yeah,
and
it's a French horror movie, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that's kind of what they do. And I mean excessive amounts of blood. I read up a little bit on it, and the director said they actually ran out of fake blood like at points. while they were filming it. And there's another piece that we'll talk about in a little bit, but they spend this like excessive amount of time on like the blood dripping from her mouth onto these ants.
Yeah.
it's these weird, like there's these weird shots. Like there's a shot when she's kind of, she hasn't been assaulted yet, but like it's right about to happen, and this other weird dude walks in, and he's like chewing on like a candy bar or something, and it takes like a really big close up like right into his face, and it's like just some weird decisions, weird shots that I didn't get behind. And but ultimately it was like I didn't buy that she was like somebody that suffers like a horrific injury like that certainly isn't, you know, walking around and really at a point stalking three dudes. Like that's something that I'm not a huge fan of. I Spit on Your Grave, but there's something that film does right where there's like a period of time between the assault and her revenge, right? Like there's a break in time that allows for her to heal her injuries and structure her ultimate revenge on the attackers. And then this is just like she has to survive, so she crawls and like hides underneath a boulder while they're looking down, and then they start hunting. And these are hunters. Like she's able to like outsmart them, and I don't know, it was just a little weird. And I wasn't like thrilled with the kills.
Really?
They were fine, but they weren't like super. I wasn't like, yes, that was fucking like super, really got me. I do think the last scene, the last kill, is super fun. It's super ridiculous. I mean, there's so much blood in that house.
It's
I don't know how
almost, I mean, I don't
you
want to
won.
spoil it. I don't want to spoil the last kill, but something about it reminded me a little bit of like American Psycho, like him running around naked with a chainsaw in that movie.
Yeah. I did like parts of that. Like he's naked. He has an injury. He wraps himself in like industrial strength Saran wrap. Yeah, but I just overall like I just wasn't. I was like, maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it when I watched it. But yeah, I was like, eh, it's.
I'm kind of like, I'm not blown away by it. You know, like I said right off the top before I knew what you thought, I said I had a pretty good time with it. I could see kind of what you're saying. Like, I could see things like being feeling weird and sticking out. Like you said, like the shot where they show this guy, like it's really kind of gross, him chewing on a candy bar, and like the sound design is like super loud sound effects.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if like her decision there was to just be like what's going to happen next is this super disgusting act, but this man here, he might be more disgusting because he's going to allow it to happen. But
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think it's also maybe partially like a perspective shot, like what she's noticing when she's looking over at
oh
him, just
yeah.
like looking at this gross fat fuck who's about to let this rape happen.
Right, and who has like the opportunity to be like,
And all he's concerned
stop
about is shoving fucking
eating his
chocolate into
candy,
his
yeah.
fat face. But like, I guess for me, fairly early on, I accepted that it was going to be like this movie is going to be kind of like over the top and kind of balls to the wall and like kind of like, no subtlety, and just kind of go for it. And I had a good time with it. Like I accepted that it was gonna be kind of like crazy, and I don't know. I had fun. I'm trying to think too. Like, I do have one criticism, and it's not really of the film. It's kind of like the conversation surrounding it a little bit. So, like, before this came out, it was getting a lot of hype from critics and stuff. And a lot of it was like I saw one critic. She was like, "I didn't know that Like I needed like a rape revenge movie directed by a woman, but like, you know, I guess I did. Like, this is amazing, and like so much of the conversation around the film is kind of like, you've seen these types of movies before, but now a woman director is like putting her stamp on it, and I'm like, I don't think that the film itself reflected that conversation. Like, I don't think it warranted.
Yeah, it's
It
like
was part of the marketing, it too, as well. Like, it was about it, you know, the marketing had some very clever trailers, like kind of ripping on men's rights activists
yeah.
in the
I thought that second trailer, the one that like specifically took quotes from like the YouTube trailer, the original YouTube trailer. I thought that was a phenomenal trailer. Like it was expertly cut. The quotes that they chose for it were excellent, and that's what really got me excited for it. I was like,
Oh,
yeah, like
yeah.
this is gonna be it. This is what I want. And really, it's just kind of another one of them.
That's the thing. Look, I got what I wanted out of it, and I'm saying the movie's a good time, and I'm recommending it to horror fans, but this notion that it's somehow different or better because a woman, like, I'm not trying to sound like a hateful, like, I'm not like one of those guys. Because it's a woman director, dude, she does exactly the same things that a male director would have done with this movie.
Yeah, the only thing I can think maybe she doesn't do, and I actually kind of appreciated it a bit, was she doesn't full on show the attack. Like that's something that really bothers me about like The Last House on the Left, is that like
Yeah.
it lingers like almost in like
Oh, yeah.
a fetishist kind of way, like on those shots of like the rape, and it's like this just kind of, it cuts away. It's there, like you know what's happening, and they show aspects of it, but it doesn't linger on her being brutalized,
Yeah.
and you could still get the reason why she's upset. Like you don't need to visually see the attack.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's it. And I do think that a modern male director would have done the same thing. Like, I don't think I mean, not all of them. I mean, there are certainly directors out there that would love to just fucking linger on that shit. But a good director probably wouldn't. They'd probably handle it the same way. But like, yeah, but that said, like, dude, you know, if this movie were directed by a man, it would be criticized for male gaze. Like, the camera, there's like
Oh, yes.
leering shots of this fucking actress's amazing ass. Like, she's hot, don't get me wrong, she looks great in the movie. But the movie makes sure that you notice that. Like,
Oh, yeah. Like
yeah.
they, and it's not, you can almost see it if it was from the perspective of like the creepy guy who eventually like
No, it's from the
performed himself, but
perspective of the camera.
it is just like, hey, we're gonna like from the get go. From
Look
like,
at how hot this bitch is basically what it's
she
saying.
gets off the helicopter at this lodge, and like almost immediately it like starts focusing on her body. It's weird.
Yeah, and I was actually talking to Zodiac motherfucker on Twitter about it, and he was saying the same thing. That I immediately thought when I watched it. I was like, dude, if a guy directed this, it would get criticized as hell and back for how much it lingers on her ass. And you know, he's kind of saying, yeah, this is no different than any other like rape revenge movie you've ever seen, really. And I was like, yeah, but this time there's a naked dude running around, and he's like, dude, they fucking cut guys' dicks off in some of these old movies and like shove them in their fucking mouth. I was like, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, like the original I Spit on Your Grave, like that was one of
Yeah.
the, like it wasn't the rape scene, which is brutal and terrible in that movie. That wasn't the big piece of it, right? It was when she cuts off the dude's dick. Like that was what kind of got people upset, despite the fact that like the fucking gang rape in that movie was like 30 minutes long.
Yeah, and like I'm not a fan of I Spit on Your Grave either, really. But I was a fan of this. Like, I think this movie it has like a cool look to it. Like I've already said, I think the main character, I think she's hot. I think she's a good like lead. I dug the kills, like especially the second one, probably like the middle one. I'd say the only one I thought was kind of weak was the first one. There's not much to it. The weird like choices, like showing the blood, like the drop it on the ants and super close up. Like I don't know. I thought it was like a nice touch.
She was the director cinematographer here was big on like showing the wounds too. Like there's that during that second kill, he steps on like a piece of glass and like the camera like lingers on him trying to get it out, but it's like a super close up of the wound as he's like peeling away.
Since we got into that, that's one of my favorite parts of the whole movie is this dude stepping on some glass and I'm showing the gash in his foot. One critic, I want to say Christy Lemire, was pointing out that like the wound looks like a vagina. It's like, yeah, I guess.
Hey, I could see that.
I couldn't not see it once I saw the movie
Yeah.
because I had heard her, I had watched her review on YouTube before going into it. And I really dug that. And dude, there's some sound design shit there too, where he's like trying to dig the glass out and you just hear it like squishing around. Ugh.
Yeah, it's like they got the microphone right into the wound.
So I think we have probably one of our biggest disagreements in a while. But all that said, it's like I don't really want to fight you on it because I could kind of see where you're coming from too. Like I could see it just not clicking for certain reasons. Again, I was not nearly as blown away as some critics were selling this thing. Like some critics were like, "This is amazing," and I was like, "Well, fuck yeah, I gotta see it. This is right up my alley." Yeah, it's pretty good. I think it's a pretty fun time. I'm gonna give it 4 stars, but Chris, you already said you didn't like it, so where are you
Yeah,
going
I
with
wasn't big.
this?
I'm gonna go with two.
Okay.
I do think like there are things about it that are good. Like I think that given maybe different material, this director could do something different, but it's so derivative of every other rape revenge
Oh,
movie. And
yeah.
like things out like I did not click with the kills and I think that's a big thing with a movie like this, right?
Yes,
Like,
that's kind of it.
or any type of slasher movie. Like, if you're not clicking with the kills, like, it's just not going to work for you. So it seems like it's going to work for some people and not work for others.
I do. I'd be surprised, or I would not be surprised if you saw it again down the line and maybe came away a little more forgiving on it. But like I said, I see where you come from. Maybe you'll see it when it comes to Shudder, Chris.
Maybe
So let's talk
you've
about
been playing
this.
on Shudder, right?
So I signed up for Shudder. Not ready to give like a final verdict on it yet. I've only had it like a week or two. I think a big thing for me is going to be how much they update what the selection is. Like you take Netflix, they kind of do a big dump at the beginning of the month, and then throughout the month there's a couple more updates, right?
Right.
I don't know what Shudder does. I've had it for 2 weeks. It seems like they've added two or three movies in the last week and a half or whatever,
Now,
So
are they like because Netflix does that too, right? Like they update over the course of the month as well with some stuff. But is the stuff that they are updating with like is it stuff that you'd actually want to watch or?
I mean, the movie that they dropped like 2 days ago was Reanimator.
Okay.
So, and then like the week I signed up, the stuff that they dropped was like, hey, here's like 5 Stephen King movies. And it was like the older It, I don't know if it was Pet Sematary. I don't want to get it wrong, but it was like a handful of older Stephen King
Okay.
movies. Most of which I think I added almost all of them to my queue. They had the old Salem's Lot movie, which I haven't seen in a long, long time, but I remember liking when I was a kid. So like, I don't know, like So far, it seems pretty legit. It's like $5 a month, so
That's not bad.
it's cheaper than Netflix. Again, it all kind of comes down to are they gonna support enough? I have a queue of about 50 movies right now. I'll probably end up watching at least 10 of them, right?
That's how those cues work.
And if a month from now or 2 months from now my queue has not changed much, I'm probably gonna get rid of it. We'll see. I mean, the good thing for it though is one, there's actually a surprising amount of like original or at least exclusive content.
Okay. That seems like at least some sort of value there then.
It's a draw, and Shudder made Revenge. I'm
Yeah.
surprised they didn't, like I said last week, they should have pushed that as like a feature for signing, a reason to sign up.
That seems really weird to me because I looked to it did get like a very limited theatrical release, but like the closest it was to me was like Houston. So so it wasn't big and then it released VOD. So like I think to me it would make more sense to kind of you release it VOD but also have it on your service so like you can entice people to subscribe.
I mean, it will be there eventually, but right now is when people are talking about Revenge. So I don't know. I don't, doesn't make sense. Other than that, I think the selection is pretty good. Like, it definitely has like stuff that I've definitely wanted to check out. Like, it has some Argento and Fulci, which I'm not very well versed on that stuff. So I'm like, okay, cool. I do think it's weird. Like, and it totally does not matter to me, but I don't know why it irks me. I'm like, I feel like a horror streaming like service should have as a basic like all the Friday the 13th, all the Halloween movies, all the Nightmare on Elm Streets, and like I don't need those at all. I have them all on Blu-ray, but I just feel like that should be like standard.
Yeah, you think like baseline, like, hey, we're gonna try and get these big movies that because that's what casual fans are gonna sign up for to watch.
And it's just yeah, it would just help it feel more rounded out. I think another thing it's kind of lacking is like I would have liked to have seen like the classic monster movies on there, like Frankenstein, stuff like that. No, I don't think any of that stuff's on there. But yeah, it's a decent selection, and we'll see. I'll let you know, Chris, if I keep it or not. I'm kind of on the fence right now, but we'll see how if they can support it enough, then maybe I'll. Again, it's not that expensive, so. One of the movies I watched on there, Chris, is a film called Escape from Tomorrow. Have you heard of this fucking movie?
Maybe. Have I?
Escape from Tomorrow is a 2013 independent film made
Oh,
by
yes, I did. Yes, I have heard about it. Yes.
The director is Randy Moore, and what he did is he secretly shot a horror film at Disney World. So without permission from Disney, because of course they would not approve it, he shot a horror film at Disney. And as soon as I read that and I looked at the poster, and the poster is like basically Mickey's gloved hand sticking up with blood dripping off of it. I'm just like, holy shit, like someone made a movie just for me. It combines my love of Disney World and my love of horror. I was like, and plus, like, I don't know, like, I was like, oh, cool, like, I'm gonna see a movie that takes place in a place that, like, I know very well, like, I know Disney World in and out, like, so I'm like, oh, it'd be cool, like, and there are parts, like, early on, I'm like, oh, they're, like, by the mural inside the Contemporary, and they're getting on the monorail, I'm like, I know exactly where they're at, you know what I mean? I'm like, this is cool. Escape from Tomorrow is one of the worst films I've ever seen in my life. It's fucking terrible, dude. Like, he squanders any sort of potential. Like, like, and the movie does have potential. Like, there is, like, hey, like, let's skewer this big corporate entity like Disney. Like, and that's what he's like. The guy like who made this was all like, you know, as I became an adult, I realized it's all fake and they're corporate, and you know, I wanted to expose like the evil side of Disney. And I'm like, there's an idea there. As much as I love Disney, I can get on board with this idea of the dark side of Disney, right? Unfortunately, even though that's what he says that the movie is about, that is not what the fucking movie is about at all. This movie is like a boring fucking travelogue. Like, it's like getting to see some family's fucking home video of their trip to Disney World, but there's like a slight plot in there, and that plot is the dad really wants to fuck these two 14-year-old girls that he sees in the park. There's your movie. And so the movie is him finding ways to get away from his wife to follow these two little fucking 14-year-old girls around.
Great, so it's a movie about pedophilia.
Yeah,
Awesome.
pretty much. Yeah, like ultra fucking creepy. Like, it makes the guy so unlikable off the bat. It's not handled in any sort of intelligent way, like American Beauty or something like that. No, it's just this fucking creepy middle-aged guy who's like a little bit, probably our age or a little bit older, finding ways to get away from his wife so he could follow these two little girls onto every fucking ride. And then in the last 20 minutes, you throw in some plot about how there's a secret evil scientist inside of, like, hiding inside of Epcot that Disney World doesn't know about, who is trying to study your imagination. And he says, and the scientist says something about how he's better than Disney because he just wants to observe your imagination, but Disney wants to control it. What? And it goes to this really dumb ending where he fucking, the guy dies, like the dad dies. I'm sorry, I'm spoiling it. I don't give a fuck. I don't, you want to be mad? Be mad, but I'm saving you everyone time. The dad dies, and then like this Disney cleanup crew comes in to like clean up his body. And then the very end, like if it, what that none of that was dumb enough. At the very end, the final shot is like him showing up again, like a clone of him or something, with some hot wife now. What? I just, there's nothing. Like I said, there was about 10 to 15 minutes where I was like, you know what, this is pretty fucking cool seeing like a movie. And plus the idea of like the guerrilla filmmaking behind this to like do this is pretty cool idea in a way, but it's also like, dude, everyone has a fucking camera in Disney World. Of course you can get away with it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, this movie, go watch, here's what my recommendation, watch the trailer for it, because the trailer is like a million times better than the movie. The trailer almost fucking sells the goddamn thing, and that's about all the good you're gonna get out of it. I can't believe that when this showed at Sundance, there was like actually a decent amount of critics who were like giving it pretty major props, mostly because of the guerrilla filmmaking. Those critics were wrong. They were like probably swept up in the moment of being at the festival and having a good time and talking about movies. Like, this thing does not stand up on its own. It's real dog shit. Like, I'm telling you, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Like, dude, it's a fucking guy. Like, it's an amateurish film following a guy looking at 14-year-old girls in a theme park. Like, it's utter shit. It's one star. I just wanted to get that out. I wanted to bring it up, like, because I mean, it's just such an oddity of a film. Like, it's worth talking about since I'd seen it, but I would not recommend watching it even as a curiosity. It's really bad, Chris.
I'm gonna skip
Yeah.
it.
And one other thing, I've watched a couple other things on Shudder, but one other like notable thing I've watched is Shudder exclusive called Downrange, and I'll be brief on this. It's directed by another name I'm going to screw up, Ryuhei Kitamura. I don't know, I'm fucking it up, but that's his name, sort of. Very simple premise. Actually, I'll read you. This is from the Wikipedia. This is the entire Wikipedia entry for this film. When a tire on their vehicle blows out, a group of college students stranded on the side of the road becomes targets for a sniper. So this is your typical, we're in the middle of nowhere, and we're fucked because there's some crazy person fucking with us. I mean, I could name a million movies in this genre: Wolf Creek, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The list goes on and on and on. I mean, this
Right,
is like
Hills
a
Have
huge,
Eyes.
yeah, this is like a major vein in the horror genre. And this one, for what it is, it's low budget. It's obviously pretty amateur actors. But generally, it's okay. It's an okay one of these. You get a surprising amount of gore and pretty cool like makeup and effects. Especially considering like the kills are, it's just a sniper that's like hiding in a tree like 100 yards away, like shooting at them. Like the director gets a lot of gore out of the premise of people getting shot. So, and it's what, just barely 90 minutes. There's not much more to it. Like you don't feel, you're not given much reason to care about these characters. There's no real explanation of what these characters are even doing on the road. Like usually the setup for one of these movies is, hey, we're going to the lake, or we're going, you know what I mean? We're going
Right.
somewhere. We're doing something. We're going to check out this house. There's just no setup. It never explains like why they are there. Like I think there's one part where they stop and kind of talk about themselves as the terror goes on, but it's so brief that I kind of forgot, and it didn't really matter. Like I said, it's an okay example of one of these. It has some pretty decent kills. Not a huge spin on the genre, but hey, it's slightly different. Like they're trapped as this guy's shooting them, and they're like kind of hiding behind their van. Like it's a nice addition, I guess, to Shudder to have something that's exclusive that is somewhat decent. I'm gonna give it 3 stars.
Okay.
It's nothing to like run out and subscribe to Shudder for, but if you have Shudder, I'd check it out. That's kind of it for me for like movies for the week. I do have one other thing I want to talk about before we go, but I know you have other stuff you've seen as well.
Yeah, just a couple other things. I'm a fan of DC and Batman in particular, and new DC animated movie Batman Ninja came out.
Yeah.
It is a more anime in style than other DC animated films. It starts out with Batman. He's trying to stop the fuck is his name? It's a Gorilla Grodd, who has built like some sort of weird time machine thing or something, and they all end up in feudal Japan, and
Okay.
it's like weird, crazy ass concept to start with. Batman shows up there somehow. He got like lost in flux somewhere, and he shows up a couple years after everybody else. And the Joker has taken over like a state of Japan. Two-Face has taken over another state. Poison Ivy, like the Penguin, like all of them have kind of taken over different areas of Japan. And but obviously the Joker is the closest to unifying them, and Batman needs to kind of stop that. And he does it with the help of Nightwing and Red Robin and regular Robin and Catwoman, and it's all some crazy ass anime bullshit all the way through. It's enjoyable for what it is, but I was not like, oh, I definitely want to go watch more anime. Like I would rather just be a I think I would have rather just got him like a cool like Batman animated movie. Earlier this year we got what was it? It was Gotham by Gaslight, which is kind of Batman set in the 1800s.
Okay.
And like that was to me more interesting than this. Like I think if you like anime, maybe this is something to pick out. But for me, it was just like it's all right. It has some weird shit going on, and the art style is pretty cool. But overall, I'm not like, yeah, that was awesome. So,
Sounds like Ninja Turtles 3.
Yeah,
I'm just,
kind of.
yeah, the feudal, like,
I'm the
hey,
latest.
let's take this
Yeah.
to feudal Japan.
Let's like how they drop the turtles into feudal Japan.
Yeah.
They drop Batman and company into feudal Japan and see what happens. So yes, it's a animated version of Ninja Turtles 3, but with Batman instead of the turtles.
Right.
It's a 3. So,
Okay.
and one other thing I saw, just kind of why I haven't watched a whole lot of movies over the last little bit. But I've been blowing through seasons 3 and 4 of Bosch, which is Amazon Prime series. Season 4 just hit. It's a it's based on Michael Connelly's series of detective novels that star his main detective, Hieronymus Bosch. And this is it's pretty good. It's a pretty gritty LA based cop drama. It's normally they follow one case throughout the entire season, and they ultimately wrap up with it's like 10 episodes. There's a something involved in it, and there's a lot of like twists and turns. It's not The Shield. Right, like it's not like he's not a corrupt cop. He plays on the edge, but he's not a bad cop. Like he is he's out to be a good cop, but he will play, on the edge of things.
He's a good guy. He's
Yeah,
just trying to be
he's a
good.
good guy. Like sometimes he does bad things too, or sometimes he just does human things. Like I think they do a good job of humanizing these people. I think the fourth season, which is the most recent one, and just came out like about a month ago, is pretty on the nose for what it is. It deals with police brutality and cop violence, and a cop, well, a lawyer who was going to be taking the city of LA to court over a police brutality case, is murdered right before that case is about to go to trial. And it's like assumed that it is a cop that did it. And so Bosch is put on this task force to kind of like solve the case. And but as it's going on, like the tensions are rising in the city and there's protests. And it ultimately, because I've read the book, I know where it ends up, but it ends up in a really bad place for LA, and it seems very topical for today, like for the last few years. And the book came out, I think, in the 90s. So,
Well, it would have been topical then too. Unfortunately, these problems have been around a while and they're just not going away.
It came out after after the 90s riots with Rodney King. But like I think a few it came out in 99, so I'm not entirely sure where the riots were, but they were not too far off from there. But like they make reference to those riots. The show obviously is more updated. It takes place today, so they reference the old riots. But they also reference like there's more technology, like the people are videotaped and there's cameras and people have cell phones, and it's very well done. I think Titus Wilver, who plays the lead, is fantastic in it. And
He's a good actor.
What's it, Lance Henriksen?
Oh,
I think he is in it as the chief of police, I believe. Is it Lance Henriksen? Lance
I don't
Rennick,
know.
not Lance Henriksen.
You
Lance
got me
Rennick.
excited. I was like, Lance Henriksen's in this
No,
fucking thing?
Lance Rennick,
Oh,
who is
okay.
in a bunch of stuff. He's really good as the chief of police in this, and They play around with the politics of that position as well, like what problems he's put in as the chief of police, and but it mostly just follows Bosch and his team of detectives and the shit that he gets involved in. I think it's like I'm already a fan. I was a fan of the novels beforehand, but I think if you're looking for like a cool cop drama that I think is actually pretty easy to watch, and there's four seasons of it out now. It's worth a go.
I do like me a cop show. And you're not the first person I've heard say that Bosch is good. In fact, I've heard like more enthusiastic praise than you've even said. So it's been one of those ones like kind of on the radar, but I'm like, there's so much to get to.
Yeah, it's like not anything you have to rush out, and but I do like how it, much like The Shield, like everything kind of flows through. It's not, it's while there are different cases going on, there is this through line,
The one
like,
story.
yeah.
I but you're like, but each season is kind of its own case, kind of, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. You've definitely piqued my interest in it. Maybe I'll get around to it eventually. I've been watching a little bit of TV as well.
Yeah.
On Netflix, there's a new crime documentary called Evil Genius: The True Story of America's Most Diabolical Bank Heist.
Okay.
This tells the story. Do you remember, it was like 15 years ago, there's this guy that robbed a bank and he had a fucking bomb like around his neck, and he got caught by the police after robbing the bank, and he's telling them like, look, I have a bomb around my neck, I was forced to do this, like please help me, and he's just like sitting there on the road and surrounded by cops, and he keeps telling them like, if someone come help me, come like cut this off, like, and as he's like begging them to do something, the fucking bomb goes off and he blows up and he dies. Like, do you remember this fucking crime? Like this story?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So I don't remember the actual crime, but there was a comedy starring Jesse Eisenberg called 30 Minutes or Less that was
Yes,
based
and
on
I
this.
remember, I think I remember telling you at the time that I don't know how on earth they made a cop. Like, I remember when that movie came out, like telling anybody who would listen, like, why would they make a comedy movie of this? This really happened. And people, like, no one remembered that it really happened. I was like, no, dude, it really happened. There's fucking video of it. Like, and it wasn't that, like, that comedy that came out was not that far separated from when it happened. It was maybe like 5 years after. And it seemed like nobody like realized that like that was a real thing that happened, and there should not have been a comedy made about it. Like,
Right, yeah.
so, but yeah, like that was a real thing. Like, and I remember back when it did happen, like, going online with my friend, and like we found the video and like watched the actual video, and watched this poor guy fucking blow up. This documentary dives into the details of that, like of that bank robbery, as well as who planned it, and why. And so, like, what I knew going in is I knew that it happened, I knew that the guy blows up, and I knew that there was like people that planned it, and that there was some question as to whether the victim, like the guy with the bomb around his neck, like whether he was like in on it, right? That's kind of all I knew going in. I had always been fascinated by this story. Like, the thing that blew my mind is when that comedy came out, like that no one remembered, because like I had always been really fascinated, because like I'd always just like wondered what it was like to be that guy in that moment. Like, you just got pulled over by cops. There's a bomb around your neck that's ticking and it's gonna about to go off. And like, how, like the guy, like when we were watching it, my girlfriend's like, this guy is way too calm. Like, he had to be in on it. And he had to like maybe think that the bomb was fake. And I was like, I think he's really calm because he realizes that every second counts. Like, he's sitting there going, I have to be calm and explain to the cops, like, not scream, not panic. I have to go, listen, guys, there's a bomb around my neck, and it's going to go off. Like, you know, he's, like, very calm about it. But as time goes on, you watch the footage, and he's like, you can see he starts to get real antsy. He's like, guys, is anyone going to come help me here? Like, please come cut this thing off my neck, you know? Like, and it wasn't that the police were, like, heartless or just confused. They had called the bomb squad, and they were on their way. And, you know, the guy ran out of time.
Okay.
That's what I knew going into it. I did not expect the backstory to be, like, just as fascinating and even more fucked up. Like, the people that came up with this plan and the reasons why, and, you know, I don't want to, like, spoil it. I do think this is, like, this thing is worth watching. Yeah, like, the story behind it is just as fucked up. And as well as just the details of the actual heist. Like, he had, like, when he went to the bank tellers, he had, like, a note that he gave them. Instead of just, like, you know, most bank robbery notes are like, hey, give me all the money. It's like a fucking manifesto that he handed this fucking, this, like, person. It's, like, 4 pages long with really small writing. And it's the same, like, and he as well had, like, this, like, instructions. Like, so after he got out of the bank, he was supposed to go on a scavenger hunt to find keys to remove the bomb from his neck. It was like, go here, go there, go to this place, go to that place. And it was, like, really long, not just detailed instructions, but, like, rambling. It's at a point where, like, if you could imagine being in a state of panic, like, where you're afraid for your life, trying to read something like that, it would be like trying to read something in a dream. Like, you'd just be like, dude, what is this? Get to the fucking point. Where am I going? You know what I mean? Like, it's insane, the instructions that both the teller and him were given. Like, I don't know how anyone expected, like, the people to be able to follow them. Oh, and by the way, on top of it, he couldn't have ran the route to get the keys in time anyways. So, like, the fucking idiots that planned this, they either wanted him to die or they just were not smart enough to figure out, like, the quest that they were sending him on couldn't be done even if you knew exactly where you were going beforehand.
Right.
So anyways, that's like the setup here. I'm not going to go into detail on, like, who the people are and why they did this or anything, except to say, like, at the end of the first episode, like, they've given you the whole, like, this is what happened, and then the bomb went off. And then they're like, now let me tell you about this lady who has been mentally ill ever since she was little, and let me tell you about the body in her freezer. And I'm like, wait, what does this have to do? What does this have to do with, like, with this fucking bank robbery? But it has everything to do with it. That's what I, like, really liked about this, like, found surprising, is, like, there's a backstory with its own crimes and its own murders before the bank robbery ever took place. It's, like, insane. I don't think this thing is as good as, like, Wild Wild Country or Making a Murderer or any of these really top-tier documentaries. Mm-hmm. It does a lot of things that that these true crime things get made fun of. Like, the filmmaker imposing himself on the people, like, becoming, trying to make himself part of the story. It's stuff that gets parodied at this point. And, you know, this movie or this documentary series kind of falls back on all those tropes from, like, Serial and all that shit, right? But the core story is so goddamn fascinating that I was, like, glued. We watched it all in one sitting. The other good thing about it is that it's only 4 episodes as opposed to a lot of these things are, like, 6 or 8 or 10 episodes.
Okay. That's not
four
bad.
Episodes. Yeah, it was, like, really, like, once we were drawn in, you're already, like, kind of 2 hours in. You're like, fuck it, let's just watch the last two, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I recommend it. I'm going to give it 4 stars. I hope I didn't give away too much. I hope it was enough to entice people. Like I said, I think it's worth watching. The crime itself is just so bizarre and so crazy. It's almost like once you peel back the already insane story of a guy with a bomb around his neck, you get this crazy Coen Brothers crime story about fucking idiots or somewhat geniuses, somewhat kind of smart, planning a crime, like kind of like these like hillbilly geniuses planning a crime. Hopefully I didn't ramble on too much about it, but yeah, check it out.
I think I'm gonna give it a go.
It's pretty good.
Weekend or next weekend. So.
Anyways, for next week, Chris, I might have Deadpool 2. I'm still undecided.
I may have that as well.
I will have, I just forgot to get to it this week, Your Name, the anime film that I mentioned.
Yes.
I do have one other thing from Shudder, which we'll save for next time. I'll have stuff.
I'm gonna try and see Deadpool 2 as well, and I'm also going to try and see Tully.
I would love to see that. I would really love to see that.
We'll see. So I'm hoping that I can get out to it on Saturday. So,
unfortunately, Infinity War is playing on every screen. I'm just kidding. Kind of. Anyways, that's it. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next time.
Yeah.
Movie dudes. Do, 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 do.